News Radio KMAN. I'm Dave Lewis in for Brandon Peoples this morning and having quite a visit here because it pertains to a lot of the things that I've been experiencing in the last 3 weeks or so. Bob Koppel, President, CEO, is that accurate President. Description? Yep. President of Ascension Via Christi Hospital. Delighted to have you in for our regular visit today.
Oh, thanks. Certainly glad to be here. And yeah. we actually were having a conversation. February is Heart Health Month. And some
it's
folks have
a little
very
bit of
personal,
a turn for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some people have a very personal experience.
Well, it was right here during this time frame, 3 weeks ago, that I was kind of, I just wasn't quite feeling right, you know. And I checked my heart rate, and it was 45 the day before, but down to 32.
Yeah.
I said,
not so good.
I thought maybe I better go to the doctor.
Well, so heart disease certainly is a huge challenge across our country. It's the number one reason for actually for death in both men and women, and it presents so differently for different people, especially by gender. And so it is really guys are actually lucky. We tend to have those feelings of I don't feel so well, or I've got pain in my going down my left arm, or you know, there's the nausea, vomiting, cold sweats. And for women, they actually, a lot of the warning signs, if you will, are a whole lot more discreet. And it's actually, that's one of the reasons that heart disease is one of the major killers of women in our country. They don't always get those, hey, something's not right, signals. And really,
physiological difference there, do you know?
Oh, you're talking to the wrong guy for that.
Okay, you're a money guy, yeah, and you're not
You're asking the engineer, and that probably actually gotcha. Definitely need to ask a physician about that. But so women's, their symptoms might be just shortness of breath. I can't get the word out today. Maybe having pressure or discomfort in their chest, but not the pain or the feeling of like major pressure that a guy is going to have. They will actually have jaw pain sometimes. And that's different.
Jaw pain.
And that is sometimes a sign. And then what has also been found with a lot of women is just they have a lot of fatigue. And that, again, is a simple, for some folks, that is a symptom actually of some sort of heart disease. And so it is just very different. I think with guys, we just actually, the symptoms are just more acute. I mean, they're like in your face and you got to still be, you know, pay attention. But it was something like for you, you know, your 3 weeks ago, you just kind of knew that something's not right here.
Well, I had been, you know, fatigue was a big part of it. And I was diagnosed with a third degree block and, you know, and Dr. Hurtig, which what a blessing it is to have a cardiologist here in town on a full-time basis now. But, you know, he didn't seem to think that there was any kind of blockage or any heart damage after it. But it was just that electronic signal was not getting to all the chambers of my heart to keep the heart beating.
Yeah. You know, I think that that's the challenge somewhat in that everybody presents a little differently. And I do think, you know, we're actually pretty blessed. There's five cardiologists that work in Manhattan. And we have two different groups, but the two groups actually work together well, which is mm-hmm. important just to help cover call and things like that and look after each other's patients if one of them's busy with somebody else. So that's definitely been, that's a positive. It is very different than, say, I think 4 or 5 years ago. We were down to maybe one or two cardiologists in the community. And so that's an area where there's actually been some good development from a medical staff perspective.
Well, I got wheeled into the emergency room about noon 3 weeks ago today, and I don't know any better, but I thought that I was taken well care of the beginning to the very end. I was just totally tickled with the staff there. Took very good care of me. I thought that you know, they would have no idea that I'd be talking about them on the radio 3 weeks later.
Well, no,
you know, they all asked what I do, so when I have to explain that, it's still kind of foreign to them. But you know, to be able to talk about it still on this day 3 weeks later is, you know, I feel very fortunate to basically have followed that signal that, yeah, I need to get this checked out.
Yeah. Well, no, very good to hear that. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people just not aware. So our emergency room will see about 23,000 patients this year.
Wow.
So
really?
18 to 1900 a month. And you know, obviously the providers in the emergency room, but they've got the ability to call in the specialist, like, you know, in your case, Dr. Hurtig. And I mean, that just helps fill out the team. And you know, it's kind of funny. So I actually had an emergency room experience myself a few months ago. It turns out I have a sensitivity to bee stings.
Oh, really? Okay. Which, you're not alone.
Which led to me not being able to breathe very well.
That's not
one. And, you know, I had that same, you know, so, of course, for me, the staff know me. And so it's kind of like, holy crap, we're going to kill the president. But, you know, actually one of our younger nurses, man, she just stepped in. Bam. She got the situation. She was calm. That helped with my wife. That helped, I think, with everybody else. And, you know, just did a great job. So I'm glad that things went well for you.
Yeah.
And hopefully we won't be seeing you again unless it's for something that's elective and scheduled.
So. That would be I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
You know, somewhat related to this. So there are a lot of things going on around heart health in the community, and we did want to just take a couple of minutes this morning and talk about that real quickly. There's actually a Go Red for Women event in March. It's a Friday. Yep, Friday lunch. And that's something that a number of us locally, we actually partner with the American Heart Association. And so that's it's like a little luncheon event, but actually some speakers and some activities. And certainly would encourage people, you know, if they have an interest in that, if they have a passion around women's heart health, that's something to do. And it's right here at the Hilton Garden Inn, right here in Manhattan.
I got a chance to work with some folks from the Heart Association on Sunday. I had a deal to recognize Coach
Snyder.
Yep. For the Bear Bryant Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, it's we had a testimony from a 14-year-old boy that talked about, you know, his trek. He was born with a defect and several surgeries. And it was, I mean, a 14-year-old kid getting up in front of people, including Coach Snyder right there. I mean, he just rocked it. It's just a great story. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, through the medical world, you know, how, you know, life can be sustained and improved. But you got to pay attention. You got to know what's going on.
Well, you know, a piece of this, there continue to be advances. A lot of people don't know. Kansas State actually does a lot of cardiac research every year. I mean, it's kind of off everybody's radar. That
really?
They actually are doing, and some of the money is actually funded by the American Heart Association right here at K-State for research.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and so it's just, I mean, there are all these little tie-ins that I think, yeah, a lot of people are just, wow, we didn't realize that we were actually a player, if you will, our community was, in doing some of these things. You know, on our side, we just finished, it's been a few months now, but we just finished a project to replace one of our cardiac cath labs. And, you know, it's like everything else, technology just changes. The lab that we replaced was 18 years old. And so the image quality, the ability to do some different things and just see things more clearly now is just so much better than it was then. And so that's been a good, certainly good, I think a good ad for our community again, good service to have. And it's actually the focus, our foundation is doing, we have our annual gala here on the 29th. And the focus of that is to finish the fundraising for the cardiac cath lab. So, you know, again, this is all about trying to keep people here in Manhattan to get their care. And also trying to have the technology available, because there's certainly the bulk of what we do in healthcare is very personal. It's about the personal touch, the compassion, and helping people. But you also just have to have the tools. And so things like the cath lab project, it just makes that it makes those tools now available to the physicians in our community.
Another aspect, I was talking with a first responder friend of mine the other day, and he works for the fire department. He told me that the process of when they get a 911 call on a heart patient, they can get to the house, get the situation stabilized, to the hospital and in the cath cart lab within, I think he said, 23 minutes.
So there's actually national goals around that. And even it gets a little more difficult, of course, the more remote you are. A big part of that is the technology's been there at least 10 years now to do remote EKGs. So they can hook the patient up in laying on their living room floor, and the physician is actually able to see the EKG, and you can then rally the team, if you will, and get things set up so that when the patient does arrive, you're able to actually treat them. And in our case, depending on the circumstance, where they are around us, patients are actually flown typically from our region. If they're in that kind of significant event, you know, they might be flown from Clay County just directly to Topeka, because the helicopter is actually faster to get them from point A to point B. But no, there's definitely a push, and it's all about time. So and without getting into a lot of details, just the amount of time that elapses between event and some sort of intervention, you just have more tissue damage. And so the push is, originally the push was, you know, less than 2 hours, then it went to 90 minutes, then it went to 60 minutes. and now it's trying to get it to 45. And in where we're getting into more rural locations like we are, it's just sometimes difficult to get from A to B. But the numbers actually in our state are very positive. We do a great job across the state taking care of cardiac patients and hitting those timelines with frequency. So
prior to the program, we were talking about some of the technology, and with my pacemaker, you know, it's set up for Bluetooth. Yeah. So Saturday, I'm just kind of resting, and I get a phone call from the cardiologist's office saying, asking if I'm okay, because they were monitoring on my from my phone. It sent a report directly to their office that my heart rate was higher than it should be. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Well, we're seeing I think we're kind of on the cusps now of just a huge rollout of what we call healthcare wearables. And so you're going to have a device either in your watch or on, you know, wearing some other either around your neck or device or just using your phone. The volume of health information that's now going to be able to be transmitted to somebody who's monitoring that and then is going to hopefully pick up, you know, what we're talking about, the symptoms earlier for heart attack. Imagine being able to do that not only for heart attack but for other issues, health issues as well. And you're going to have folks who are just watching and monitoring that. I think it's a huge step forward. It's all about trying to get to people before the really bad things happen.
I saw the other day there was a little deal you can plug into your phone. You can check your blood sugars. You know, that information.
Oh, yeah.
And there are so many different things that are available, you know, just through your phone. My doctor told me I better get an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or something like that so I could keep track of my heart rate. And it also has an EKG app.
Oh, yeah.
Where I can kind of monitor, and it can tell me what's good and what's not.
It's really amazing, quite honestly. And that, you know, the technology started to become available probably 4 or 5 years ago with quality, and then that requires certain durability, and you certainly want to have stuff that's accurate, if you will, you know, within certain parameters. And probably every 6 months now, you see steps forward with that. And I really think over the next, you know, I don't even think it'll be 5 years. It'll probably be less than 5 years. That'll actually be commonplace. And you'll, like, the difficulty on the receiving end of all the data is who is going to kind of capture and manage all that. And there'll probably be some sort of automation or artificial intelligence to help with that. But it's just if you think about the volume of potential patients and who will be actually watching all of that, and then, you know, deciphering it and deciding, I need to call Dave or I don't. You know, when is it for him? Because everybody's a little different. When for him is it generate the phone call, or when does it generate the 911 call? You know, just to discern all that. But no, I think that's on our horizon. That's a huge, huge thing.
Absolutely. We need to take our break. When we come back, Bob Koppel will continue our discussion on some things that are happening. We'll talk about choice at Ascension Via Christi Hospital when we return with KMAN's In Focus in just a few minutes.